Today's shiur is a Masechta Shuas on Daf Mem Gimel. We will begin on Daf Mem Beis Amud Beis, 8 lines from the bottom of the Amud, with the beginning of the Gemara following the Mishnah. Before we get into the actual Gemara, let us learn the Psukim upon which the Gemara is based, and this is in Shmos Perikov Beis, Pasuk Vav, in Parshat Mishpatim, where the Pasuk speaks about a Shomer Chinam, and the Pasuk says, Ki Yitein Ish El Re'eyu, Kesef oikelim lishmar, the gunav mi beisa ish, imimatsay aganav yishalim shnaim. So the Torah is telling us that the ganav has to pay kefil. Pasuk zayin, im lo yimatsay aganav, v'nikrav balabais elo lehim, im lo yishalach yorei b'mleches re'eyu. Here is the shvua that the shomer chinam has to swear, that he did not make use of the Pekadon, and a Shomer Chinam, if he swears, he's Potter on Gneva Vaveda. Pasuk Ches, Al Kol Dvar Pesha, on any matter of liability. We will learn the Pasha Pshat the way Rashi and Chumash learns. Al Shor, Al Chamor, Al Se, Al Salma, an ox, a donkey, a sheep, a garment, Al Kol Aveda, Asher Yomer Kihuzeh, and Rashi learns this is speaking about the aid who is Mayed Keneged the Shomer, and he says, what you, Shomer, claim that it was stolen, it's not true. What you are doing is that you're a Toyin in a Pekodin to say that it was stolen from you. But really, you yourself were the Ganev. So now, they both come to Bezdin, the Adam come to Bezdin, and the Shomer comes to Bezdin. Ad olehim yavi dvar shneim asher yashin olehim yisham shnayim l'reyu. As Rashi there in Chumash explains, if the Edom are found to be false Edom because they're Edom zomimim, what did they want to do? They wanted to be mechayev the shomer because the halacha is that atoyin tainis ganav bepikadin. If you're claiming that the pikadin was stolen from you and really you stole it yourself, you're mechayev to pay kefil. Just like if someone had actually stolen it, he would have to pay kefil. So the shomer, likewise, if he steals it himself, has to pay kefil to the bailiff. So that if the Edom are found to be true Edom, then the shomer is guilty and he has to pay kefil to the bailiff. And if the Edom are found to be zomimim, then they have to pay what they wanted to do to the shomer, which is to make him chayv kefil, they have to pay kefil. So it comes out from these psukim in Shmois Perikov Beis, which is speaking about, this is the first parsha there, as Rashi is going to tell us on the top of Mem Gimel Amud Aleph, there are three parshias in that chelik of the Torah. The first one's going on the responsibilities of a shomer chinam, the second one is a shomer sachar, and the final one is speaking about a shoel. In that parsha of shomer chinam, we have three parties that could pay kefil. One is the ganav. The second is the shomer who's toyin tanis ganav bepikadin, and really he himself stole it. The third party that could pay kefil are the edim if they're found to be edim zayman. Now, on all chiyuvim of kefil, whoever has to pay kefil, our Mishnah told us in yesterday's shir that elu dvorim she'ein lishboim aleihem havadim v'ashtoris v'akarkois, and then it went on to say that these things also, not only don't they have any of the shvuos of the Torah, which is the shvu of Moed B'Miktzes, of Eid Echad, or shvuos HaShomrin, but also they do not have kefil. Whoever has to pay kefil would not pay kefil if the item in discussion is a eved, or a shtar, or karka, or hegdish. And now the Gemara wants to know from where in the psukim that we have just learnt in Perikov Beis, in Parsha Mishpatim, where do we see that there is no responsibility for kefil on these items? Tashlumei kefil manon begins the Gemara, the Tana Rabbanim. We learnt in a braisa that a pasuk says, a kol dvar pesha, that's a klal, that's a general rule. Then the Torah goes into specifics. Al Shor, Val Chamor, Val Sev, Al Salma, that's a prat, specific. And then the Torah again makes a klal, a generalization. Al Kol Aveda, on anything which the Shomer is saying it was lost, Chazer V'Kolal. the Torah now makes a klal again. So what comes out? That here is a classic case of klal uprat uklal. And the halacha by klal uprat uklal, as we have in the brisa that we say at the end of Karbonis every day, the brisa of Rabbi Shmuel Oimer, it tells us there, iyatodon elekein aprat. So we say that the klal only goes so far as something that is equal to the prat. So we learn out, ma haprat mefurish dovra metaltel v'gufei mom. Just like the prat, it's clear it is a movable object. All those items over there, shor, chamor, seh, salma, and gufei mom, they intrinsically are worth money themselves. Af kol dovra hametaltel, anything that is movable, the gufei mom, if intrinsically it itself is worth money, there is a chiyuv to pay kefil if a person stole it. Yatsu karkois, we exclude with this karkois she'ein metaltlin. They're not metaltlin, so they are not doma to the prat of al shorach al chamor val sev al salma. Yatsu avodim shehukshel karkois. Avodim are compared always to karkois. So if there's no din of kefil by kark, there's no din by avodim either. Yatsu shtoris. Shtoris are also excluded. She'afel pi she'ein metaltlin. Even though they are metaltlin, they're movable, but ein gufin mamon. They themselves are not worth money. They only represent the obligation that the loiva has to the malva, but they themselves are not worth money. How do we know that hegdish is also excluded from the parsha of kefil? Because the pasuk says ki yitain ish el rei eyu rei eyuksiv. It's only speaking about when you give it to your friend, and not when it pertains to hegdish. Continues the Gemara to explain the next part of the Mishnah. The Mishnah said there is no halacha of Veloy arba v'chamisha on these items, my taima. Why is there no din of arba v'chamisha? The answer is because the Torah says tashlume arba v'chamisha am rachamana. The Torah says that there are chiyuvim to pay four times or five times. But if you're telling me that in karka or shtoris or avodim or hegdish there is no din of kefil, so it means automatically that we would have to be speaking about not four or five times, but we would have to speak about three or four times, because there's no kefil. So the Torah says, arba v'chamisha, v'loy tashlum eshloish v'arba. But if you're going to exclude kefil, which means the maximum that you could pay in this is three or four times, there is no such payment as three or four. If there's no kefil, likewise there's no din arba v'chamisha. So arba v'chamisha can only be like the prat, by a shor, chamor, said, cannot be by something which is excluded from kefil, because if it's excluded from kefil, it's automatically excluded from arba v'chamisha as well. Then the Mishnah continued, shomer chinam ein nishba, that a shomer chinam will never swear on these items. Whenever he has to swear, let's say gneiv aveda, he won't swear. If there was a gneiv of an eved, for example, he will not swear. Mino hanimili, how do we know that? The Tana Rabbana we learned in a brisa. Kiyitain ish, as we turn to daf mem gimel amud aleph, kiyitain ish al re'eyu, as Rashi says, this is the parsha Rishonim, which is speaking about shomer chinam. When a person gives to his friend, that's a klal. What is he giving? Prat, kesef oy kelim, money or vessels, that is a prat, that's a particular, not a generalization. And then it says, kiyitain ish al re'eyu, kesef oy kelim, lishmar, to guard, chaz v'kol, that, then again, we are making a generalization. And we have the rule that by klal uprat to klal, yatodon elkein uprat. Then everything that you want to include has to be similar to the prat. Ma prat mefurish dover metaltel v'gufei mamon. Just like the prat of kesef or kelim is something movable and it's intrinsically worth money, af kol dover metaltel v'gufei mamon. So anything that you want to include in this prat has to be similar, that it's a dover metaltlin, gufim moment. Yotz karkoi she'ein metaltlin. To exclude karka, which is not metaltlin. Yotz avodim shuk shul karkoi. We exclude avodim, which are compared to karka. Yotz shtoris. Shtoris are excluded as well. She'av v'pisha metaltlin, ein gufim moment. Even though they are metaltlin, they're not intrinsically worth money. Hegdish reyuksiv. So it's a complete repeating of what we learned by kefil, so too what a shomer chinam has to swear on, all of the things that are not metaltlin and gufim momen are excluded, and hegdish has the same exclusion that it says re'eyu, and that does not include hegdish. Then in the second parsha, we have a pasuk, Ki yitein ish al re'eyu chamor ashor isev achol behem alishmor, which is speaking about a shomer sachar. Whatever a shomer chinam swears on, so the shomer sachar in the same case by gneva aveda has to pay. He doesn't have the option of swearing and not paying. How do you know that we exclude karka, shtoris, and avodim, and hegdish? We know the ton of rabbanon. Ki yitein ish al re'eyu klal, that's a generalization. Then it says there by shomer sachar chamor ashor isev, that's a prat. Detail. V'chol behema lishmar, chazer v'chol. Then it brings it again into a generalization. Any animal, not specifically a chamor shor seh, we have a rule, klal uprat klal, and now here it says chulu, etc. Ad hegdish re'eksiv. What the Gemara means to say is that now you have to go back to the second line on top of the Amid, the last word, Iyatodon el Kena Prat, and go from there down around 5-6 lines to the words Hegdish Re'yuksiv, and the whole Brisa that we repeated it twice. Now the third time, instead of repeating it, we just say, etc., Ad, go down through that whole previous brisa and just repeat the exact same words until you get to the words Hegdish is Nismayed Re'yuksiv. So Ad va'ad b'chlal, until those words of Hegdish Re'yuksiv, everything is included as before. It has to be a prat of Dover Hamataltal v'gufay Mammon, and we exclude anything that's not Dover Hamataltal v'gufay Mammon, like Chamor Shoriseh, and we exclude Hegdish because it says Re'yu. Rav Meir, the Mishnah continues to say that Rav Meir tells us, Yesh Dvorm Shenka Karka, there are things that are similar to Karka, but Ve'enun Karka, they're not like Karka. And what was the case? A case of Eser Gefanim Tunis Masartloch. I gave you 10 vines that were full of grapes. V'halo Omer, and the Shomer says, Einan Elochamesh, no, you only gave me 5. He's Moide B'mixis. According to Rav Meir, he's Chayiv Eshua. Because even though it's attached to the ground, the vines are. However, apparently, that's more going to question. Rav Meir holds that a mechubel, a karka, something attached to the karka, does not have a din of a karka. So therefore, it's a metaltan. If it's metaltan, it's possible to have moida b'miktsas. However, the chachamim hold, no. If it's mechubel, a karka, has a din of a karka. And we just learned before, there are no shvuas from the Torah on something that is not metaltalin. So according to Chacham, mechubru lekarka, attached to the karka, has a din of karka, and therefore the shvu of Moed B'mixas would not be applicable, and that's why he would be putter, even though he is admitting half, there is no shvu from the Torah on something that has a din of karka. Says the Gemara, mechlal de Rav Meir sover, call him mechubru lekarka, ainik karka. So the Chayr Rav Meir holds that whatever is attached to the ground does not have a din of karka. It's metaltalin, therefore it's shaykh a shvu of Moed B'mixas. I have a question. So why does the Mishnah have to say the machlokes between Rav Meir and the Chum is speaking about vines that are full of grapes? Why don't we have the machlokes in empty grape, in empty vines that have no grapes on them? The Rav Meir will say they're considered not part of the karka. It's possible to have might have been mixes on it. Chai v'shua. The Rabbanu will say they're mechubel karka, and therefore there is no din might have been mixes. You're potter from Yeshua. So why make the case only by Tu'unais? Amar Rabbi Yossi Rab Chanina. So Rabbi Yossi Rab Chanina answers and says, Eina Chanami. We will say that really Rab Meir also holds, of course, that Kol HaMechubah Lekarka is Kekarka Dummy. So if so, what's the Svar of Rab Meir? Why does he hold over here that it has a din of Metaltalin? And that the answer is, that's why the case is speaking bedafke by Tunis. If it would be Sedukos empty, then of course Rav Meir would be Moed Chamim, has a din of karka, and your potter from Yeshua. But here we're speaking about where it's full of grapes, which are ready to be cut. The Rav Meir Sava Kipsuras Dami. Rav Meir holds, if they're so developed that they're ready to be cut and eaten, then even though something that's mechubel karka is a din of karka, but then we look at it as if they're already harvested, and therefore has a din of metaltlin, and therefore it's shayach achiv shuah of mod mixa. Rabbanan savri, just because they're oimet to be cut off, they don't have a din that they're cut off. Rabbanan savri, loy kipsuris damyin, they're not kipsuris damyin, and therefore they still have a din of mechobel karka, and therefore you're potter by mod mixa. Taisus Nivri Maschel Kipsuris Damian points out that this is a halacha only by Moed B'Mikzas, that Rab Meir holds that the Kipsuris Damian, their Metaltlin and Shayach Achiv of Moed B'Mikzas. But of course, Taisus brings proofs that Rab Meir would be Moed to the Chacham, that Lamashal Inyan Shabbos, if someone would cut off on Shabbos, something that's Oymed Libatzer, we won't say he's Potter from the Malacha of Ktsira. One of the Lamatas Malachas, Avada Lagabi Shabbos, there'll be a Chiv Shabbos there, will say it's not considered like it's already cut off. There it's attached to the tree, and he's over on one of the Lamatas Malachas. Here we're speaking specifically Lagabi, the Halacha of Moed B'Mikzas, that only there does Rameir hold that Kol Oimed Libatzer Kibatzer Dami. Continues the Gemara to explain the next part of the Mishnah. The Mishnah stated that there's only a shvua ein nishbon el al davar shebemido shebemishkal shebeminyan. It has to be something that is measurable and it has a weight or it has an amount. Only then a charech might have been mixed to chiv shvua. Amar Abaya says Abaya. Loisha nu el damar lebay stam. The Mishnah gave an example of somebody will say that I gave you a house full of tvua, and the other one said that you only gave me what I'm giving back to you, which is not a full house. So the halach is, that is not considered a clear measured item, and therefore there's no halach of Moed B'Mikzas. Says Abaya, when was that statement made? Only if he told them, I gave you a plain house. He didn't specify which house. I gave you this specific house full to the top. So then, then we do know the taina of the Moed B'Mikzas. Because he says, let's say it's 8 feet tall to the ceiling. It was full of tvua. So we're able to measure how much tvua is in such a house filled to the roof. And the other one saying, I'm just giving you back what you gave me, let's say it's 3/4 full, so we know that he's being a Moed B'Mikzas, because he is not admitting on 1/4 of the house. He's only admitting on 3/4. That's a Moed B'Mikzas. Then there would be a Chiyuv Shuas. If he says a house, and we don't know what to measure by his thumb, then there's no Moed B'Mikzas. But if we are able to measure it, then we could figure out what the Moed B'Mikzas is. Amalei Rava, if that is so, he hachi adetani seifa. In the Sefer it said that if the mafkid said to the shomer, you know how much tvua I gave you? I gave you up to the ziz. What is a ziz? Kaira Rashi says, shalal liyah, but let us play chabayis. A beam of the roof that is boiled into the house. I have heard on another shear that someone translated as the windowsill. Perhaps that's a different reshine, but Rashi here says clearly that it means the beam of the house, and it would be indicated like that because if it meant the windowsill, it would come out that is the smaller amount, and the chalon, which is the next part, is a higher amount, and it seems the opposite. That the mafkid is demanding up to the beam of the top of the house, and the shomer is saying, no, you only gave me arachaloin. So according to Rashi, certainly it is clear that this means up to the beam of the top of the house. So adet tani seif v'zerim adaziz v'zerim arachaloin, that you only gave me up to the window, that is chayiv, because it's measurable, lifleg listen b'rida. Let's make the chilek in, not concerning the window, but let's make the chilek in the case before. He told him up to the top. The other one said, no, it's only what I gave you. So if he said, b'med v'omer murm, when is that not considered Moed B'Mikzas? There is no chiv shvua, b'bayis moli. When he said b'bayis moli stam, avol b'bayis zeh, but if he specified this house, which is measurable, and then we could figure out how much he's a Moed B'Mikzas of the full measure, avol b'bayis zeh mole, then he is chayiv. So why didn't we make the chilek? El ma'etz mashma, that even if you would say b'bayis zeh mole, that would not be considered a case of measurable b'mida that would cause a chiyuv of mita b'mikzus. Elam or Rava, says Rava, lo oilam, ein echayv ay chi yitenenu b'davar shebimida shemishkol minyan, v'yoydolay b'davar shebimida ushebimishkol ushebiminyan. So Rava says, no, it has to be very clear. I gave you 5 pounds of tfuwa, I got back 2 pounds of tfuwa. I gave you something that weighs 5 pounds, I got back something that's worth, weighs 2 pounds. I gave you 5 of something, and you gave me back 2 of that item. It has to be clear. However, this is not called clear. Tosis asks in Divrei Maskil El Amar Rava, why in fact is it not clear? He says up to the roof. You measure up to the roof. The other one says that what I'm giving you back now is what it was. Let's say it was 3/4. So it does seem to be measurable, and it does seem to be clear. Tosis says no, because people refer to a full house referring to different things. One would say full, that it's bursting at the seams, up to the top, not a millimeter that doesn't have tfuwa. And the other one will say, even if it's a little missing, but it looks pretty close to the top of the roof, he'll say that a full house. And then we don't know clearly what's the other one being mitered to. We don't know the difference clearly. Maybe when the other one said, what I'm giving you, which is around 3/4 of the way up, maybe that's what the first one called full. So that's not called a clear cut that we know what they're both timing and what I'm being might have a mixes in. So it has to be something much clearer than saying a full house, because full is different to different people. That's what Tosis explains here. Tanya Kavaseda Rava continues the Gemara. We learned in a Brisa like Rava said. If the mafkid comes to the shomer and says that I deposited in your rishus to guard a kur measurement of grain, and the other one says that you didn't give me anything, potter. So he is potter because he's a kaifra koil, so min hatoira, he's potter from a shvua. He's denying everything. What happens if the other one said, Menoira Gedoyla Yesh Libiotra, I have a large menoira in your possession, which belongs to me. And the other one says, Ein Lach Biyadi El Menoira Ketana, all you have, all that you entrusted me with is a small menoira. The din is, he's also potter. Why is he potter? This is for the rule that we've learned before. It's a case of Tanai Chitin V'Hoidloi B'Sairin. I'm asking from you one thing, and you are admitting in a different thing. There's also no halacha of Maida B'Miktsas. If you're not answering me in what I am asking from you, so a large menorah compared to a small menorah, these are considered two different distinct items. And therefore, it's not like I am admitting partially to what you are demanding from me. But rather, you're speaking about chitim, wheat, and I'm answering in barley. There's no halach of moed b'miktsas there as well. We still have not seen the validity of Rava's statement that we will see from the end of the Braisa. So the first p'tur was because of kaifra kol. The second p'tur is because I'm not answering you in the same item that you are demanding from me. Let's see the third case. Azura gedoyli yesh libiyotcha, I have a large belt in your possession. And the shomer answers, Ein loch biyadi el azura ketana, the only thing you have in my possession is a small belt that's also considered two distinct items, and therefore I'm not answering you in the same category of what you are demanding from me, and therefore the halach is potter. Avol bar amar loy kur tfuwa yesh li biyadcha. I have a kur measurement of tfuwa in your possession. Valoimer, and the other one responds, Ein loch biyadi ela lesech. All you have in my possession is half of a kur. Then the din is chayiv, because you are answering me in the same item that I am asking from you. I'm asking tfuwa, you're answering tfuwa, but you're not giving me my full measurement, you're only giving me partial. That's a classic case of mitzvah b'miktsas, so you're chayav shvuah. Menorah bas esr litrin yesh li biyotcha. I have a menorah that is the weight of 10 litrin in your possession. Ein lach biyotcha ela bas chamesh litrin. And the Shomer answers that you have in my possession is a menorah which weighs 5 litrin. The din is, that's considered that you are answering me in the same category of what I am demanding from you. It's a case of mitzvah mixes, you're chayiv. The rule is, the rule is that I have to ask you something that can be either measured or weighed or has numbers, and you are admitting in something which has a measurement or weight or numbers, but you're admitting less than what I'm asking from you. That's mitzvah b'miktsas. So now we are going to bring the raya to Rava. Klali shel dover lasui amai. What is this klal at the end of the brisa coming to add? Lav lasui b'yizem ole. It must be including that you know what else is putter. What else you don't swear on? That is the case of Rava, where you said, I gave you this house full to the ceiling, the full house of wheat. And I answered, no, you only gave me what I'm returning to you, which is not the full. And that also is not considered mitzvah b'miktsas, because, as Tosfos explained before, it's not precise. And some people will call something that's perhaps 3/4 full, that they look at that's like a full house. So the difference between what I'm asking and what you're responding to is not clear. And therefore, it doesn't have a lach of mitzvah b'miktsas. This is the raya to rub. Now, the Gemara asks the kasha, why is it that if I ask from you a menorah gedolah and you answer menorah katana, that you are potter? Why is that? L'chayra, it's the same min, a menorah. I'm asking big, you're answering small. You might have been mixed, you should be chayiv. Why is it in your potter? The answer, says the Gemara, is because masha tana loy haydaloy, masha haydaloy loy tana. That's considered two distinct objects. I'm asking you a menorah gedolah, you're responding menorah katana. That's two different things. Ihachi asked the Gemara, bas eser bas chomish nami mashatana loy haydaloy mashahaydaloy loy tana. So what's the difference if I say big or small, or I say one weighs 10 litrin, and the other one responds, it's only 5 litrin. If big and small is considered two different objects, that I am not answering in the same category as you're asking, it's like chitim and so'irim. So if I say 10 and 5, that the Gemara is saying that would also seem to be two different chafetzim that we are talking about. So Rabbi Kiva Eger makes a very strong point here in the Gilyon HaShas, and he doesn't give an answer. He says, when the Gemara begins its discussion here with a question, what's the difference between Menorah Gedolah and Menorah Katana? So you have to say the difference is that it's considered two different objects. It's like Chitim Asayrim. And then the Gemara says, Yehachi, if so, I have a question, what about Bas Esther and Bas Chamish? Says Rabbi Kiva Eger, the Gemara should have right of way asked, the Gemara should have skipped the part of Menorah Gedolah and Menorah Katana. The Gemara should have gone straight to Bas Esther Bas Chamish and asked, why is that not a case of I'm asking you one thing and you're answering something else? Because Menorah Gedolah and Menorah Katana, you know why you're putter there? That's because it's not something b'mido b'mishkol u'b'minyan. It doesn't have a precise size or weight or amount. We're not talking about I want 10 and you're telling me 5. We're saying big or small. So it's missing that element of mido mishkol minyan. In other words, in this sugya, we've had two concepts which you have to have in order to have mitzvah b'miktsas. One is that it has to be something defined in measurement or weight or amount, mido mishkol minyan. And the other is, it has to be the same min, the same item that you're asking me. I'm just saying I have less of it. But we're talking about the same thing. We're talking about chitim, or we're talking about sarim, but not, you ask for me chitim, and I answer sarim. So when the Gemara originally begins its question and brings the case of Menorah Gedolah and Menorah Katana, Rabbi Kiva Eger says, Maishna, why is it different? It's simple why that's putter. You know why that's different? Because it's not Mido Mishkol Minyan. But what Esser and Chamesh, there it is Mido Mishkol Minyan. We're talking about weight. I say it weighs 10 pounds. You answer you only gave me 5 pounds. So it meets the criterion of Mida Mishkol Minyan. But then I have a different question. It's a different chayfetz. It's not the same min. So the Rebbe Kiva remains by a question, why the Gemara begins its discussion here with Menorah Gedolah, Menorah Ketanah. L'chayra, that has no relevance to this entire discussion. You know why it's potter there? Because it's missing that criterion of Mida Mishkol Minyan. But anyway, we're up to a kasha here in the Gemara that Bas Esther and Bas Chomesh should also be considered, that I'm asking you 10 is one type of menorah. You're answering me Chomesh, which is a different type of menorah. It's not the same thing. No, it is the same thing. It's just less. Here we're talking about a menorah of sections. The Kamoidele Minot. I'm answering that you think that you're telling me that it had 10 sections. No, it was a menorah which only had 5 sections. It's a menorah made out of pieces, made out of sections. You say there were 10 sections to make the menorah. I say there were only 5 sections. So that is the same item, but less of it. It might have been mixes. Ihachi asked the Gemara, so Azura Nami by a belt also. Nisni, we're looking at the life. Why don't we say we're speaking about stitched pieces? I asked for 10 stitched pieces, and you only admitted in 5 stitch pieces. The answer is, you know why the din is Azur Gedoyla and Azur Ketana is Potter? Because Ella Delife Elektani. It's not a case of stitched pieces together, which would be the same min. Rather, it's a Gedoyla and a Ketana. And Lifey is not mentioned. So Hachanami, in the case, what are you answering me? By the case of 10 and 5, that there's moedah b'miktzas. Why? Because b'shalchulyas, like Tani. Otherwise, make the same chilik by a belt. So, what is the rule here clearly that will distinguish 5 and 10, that is mimin hataina, and there is moedah b'miktzas, as opposed to the belt, for example, which is potter. Elo amar rab abba bar mamal, here is the point. Shiny menorah, hoyl v'yachol legayrura ulamida al chamesh litrin. Do you know why 5 and 10 is considered mimin hataina, and it's possible to have moedah b'miktzas? Because I'm asking you for a big menorah, and you're answering me a big menorah. Except instead of being a fat big menorah, you could chisel it down, you could scrape the gold off until the thick Menorah of 10 becomes a thin one of 5. That's mimin hataina. That's chitin and chitin. That's menorah gedoyla, menorah gedoyla, except one weighs 10 and one weighs 5. That's might have been mixes. However, by a large menorah and a small menorah, there, let's say you cut down the large menorah and you make it now into a small menorah. But everyone can see that it has a different surah. It's not proportional. It's a big menorah that was cut down and made into a small one. When you make a big menorah and you make a small menorah, the small menorah is a different chefetz, a different chefetza than a big menorah is. Or if you have a large finished, professionally finished belt, and now you cut it down and made from it a small, unprofessional belt with not rounded, professionally made ends to it, it's a different chayfetz than the large belt. So there, it's not miminatayin there, it's potter. But to have a large menorah of 10 pounds and then a large menorah of 5 pounds just scraped down, that's considered mimin, the same min, except that it's less, and therefore a chayach might have mixes, therefore it's chayiv, a shvua. Begins the next Mishnah. Before we begin the Mishnah, let us say a number of klolim. The first klol is that if someone takes a loan and gives a collateral, a mashkin, to the malve, the malve is considered, while he is watching that mashkin, he's considered a shomer Sacher, like a paid shomer, and he has the dinim of a shomer sacher. If the mashkin was stolen or lost, he's chayiv to pay like a shomer sacher. Now, if the loan was for $1,000 and the mashkin was worth $1,000 and got lost, so one cancels out the other, because the loiva owes the malva back $1,000 to repay the loan. The malva owes the loiva $1,000 the worth of the mashkin, and it cancels out. What happens if he lost it and it was worth less than the loan? The loan was 1,000, the mashkin was worth 500, so the loiva still owes to the malva 500. What happens if he lost it and the mashkin was worth more than the loan? The loan was 1,000, the mashkin is 2,000, then the malva has to repay the loiva $1,000. He takes off 1,000 for repayment of the loan, and he still owes the loiva $1,000. However, if the mashkin was lost through an oynis, on oynis, only a shoyl is chayv, a shoyl is socher is potter. So then the halacha is that the shoymer socher who's here, the malva, who is guarding the pekodon, the mashkin, he has to swear that it was lost accidentally, just like a shoymer socher has to swear that it was lost ba'oynis, and then he's able to collect the entire loan from the loiva. Those are the klalim of our Mishnah. Begins the Mishnah. Hamalva is chaver al mashkin, if somebody made a loan to his friend based on a mashkin, a collateral that he took from the loiva, the avida mashkin, and the mashkin was lost, not through an oinus. So now the malva is considered a shomer socher, and he's chayav for gneiva aveda. Omar loy, so the malva said to the loiva, sela hil v'sicha lov, because of this mashkin, I lent you a sela, and now we have to know a little bit about denominations of money here. A sela is worth 2 shkolim. A shekel, therefore, is considered a half of a sela. A shekel is also worth 2 dinarim. A dinar is a quarter of a sela, because there's 2 shkolim in a sela, and there are 2 dinarim in a shekel. So a dinar is a quarter of a sela. If you have 2 sloim, so you have a total of 4 shkolim, because there are 2 shkolim in a sela, and there's 2 dinarim in a shekel, so if you have 4 shkolim, you have 8 dinarim in 2 sloim. Now let us see what the Mishnah is saying. So the malva said, it was worth I gave you a loan of a sela, but the mashkin was only worth a half a sela, a shekel. The shekel, you still owe me 2 dinarim. You owe me a shekel, a chotzi sela. It was worth exactly what the loan was. I'm kaifer akol. The din is, the loiva minatayra doesn't even have to swear. He is potter. But a kaifar kol is potter. He doesn't swear, he doesn't pay, he's potter. Sela hilvisicha lov. If the malva says, because of the collateral, I lent you a sela, a shekel hoyeshava, it was only worth a shekel, you still owe me a shekel. Valoimer loiki. Ela sela hilvisani olav vishloisha dinarim hoyeshava. It was worth 3 dinarim. And therefore, I owe you 1 dinar, because as we said before, a sela is worth 2 shkolim, and a sela is also worth 4 dinarim. So he was moide that the collateral was worth 3 dinarim. He still owes him 1 dinar. The malva wanted from him 2 dinarim. He wanted a shekel. He admits in 1. So the loiva is a moide b'mixas. Chayiv is mechuyiv to swear a shuv of moide b'mixas. What happens if sela hilvisani olav? The loiva comes and is toiveya from the malva. I borrowed based on this collateral a sela, but you know what it was really worth? Shtayim ayishav. The collateral, the mashkin, was worth 2 sloim. So you owe me a whole sela now that you lost the valoyim and the malva. The answer is loiki. El a sela v'sicha olav a sela ayishav. It was worth exactly what the loan was worth. It then is potter because he's a kaifer akol. Sela hilvisani olav shtayim ayishav. The loiva comes to the malva and says that it was worth 2. So when you lost it, you owe me 1 sela. 1 sela gets canceled because I owed you a sela for the loan, but you still owe me a sela because it was worth 2 sloim. Valoyim and a malva now is moide b'mixas. Loiki. El a sela hilvisicha olav. I lent you on this mashkin a sela. V'chamisha dinarim ayishav. You know how much the mashkin was worth? 5 dinarim. Your claim is worth 2 sloim, which is equal to 8 dinarim, and I moide that it was worth 5 dinarim. But the loan was only a sela. So it comes out that the 4 dinarim gets canceled out because that's what the loan was, a sela. And now it was really worth 5 dinarim. So the malva has to swear, he's a moide b'mixas, he has to swear, the loiva is being tevea 8 dinar minus 4 dinarim of the loan, that means you still owe me 4. And the Malva says, no, I only owe you 1 dinar because it was worth 5 dinar and minus 4 of the loan. I owe you 1 dinar, moide b'mixas. Chai of the dinar is moide b'mixas, chai of Yeshua. Umi nishba, who swears? Misha p'kodin, that's loy. The one who has the p'kodin by him, which means the Malva. The Gemara is going to explain what does this mean. It means in the case where the loiva had to swear because he was a moide b'mixas, which was the second case of Aresha, where the loiva said that it was not worth a sella, but it was worth shloisha dinarim, and I owe you 1 dinar because I loaned from you a sella, and it was worth. I loaned, the Resha says that I loaned from you, the Malva says to him, I loaned based on this, a sella to you. And it was worth a shekel, so you still owe me a shekel, which is 2 dinarim. And he says, no, it was worth 3 dinarim. So, therefore, I only owe you 1 dinar. So he's a moide b'mixas. But the Malva also has to swear that it's Eina B'Shusoi. And therefore, the Mishnah is asking, Mi Nishba, who swears first? The din is that the Malva has to swear first. Misha B'Shusoi, that's it. Why? Because if we're going to make, in this case, the Loiva swear first, Shema Yishava Zeh, maybe the Loiva will swear that it was worth 3 dinarim. The Yaitzi Allah is the Bekodin, and the Malva will bring out the Bekodin and show everybody that it was worth only a shekel, and therefore Rashi says, we will make the loiva apostle to, we'll say he's a liar, he wanted it to be worth, really he didn't estimate it well, but we'll suspect he's lying, and therefore he'll be apostle to make a shvu, or to be an aid. So in order that shouldn't happen, we make the malva swear first. So what does the malva say? The malva says, I don't have it. And therefore, we're not worried that he's going to produce it later because he swore that he didn't have it. And then the loiva will swear that it is worth 3 because he's a moida b'mikzas. Begins the Gemara on Amid Beis, Ahai. This last line of the Mishnah, Mi Nishba, Mi Shabba Kodin, that's like, what's that going on? So the Gemara answers, it's going on the Seifa. It's going at the end of the Mishnah, which is the case where the Malva has to make the Shua because he's moide b'mixas to the Loiva. V'tepagle, asks the Gemara, the Shua gave Malva, the Bach puts in the word who. The Shua anyways by the Malva. What are you asking me who swears? The Malva swears, Misha b'kodin, that's it. Why? Because Shema, Yishav etzev yaitzei alos b'kodin. Which Rashi says will make the loiva apostle latest. By the way, the Rif says it'll come out of the Chil Hashem that somebody swore false. And that's why we don't want to do it. But here's a case where the loiva doesn't swear anyway. It's the Malva who's the moide b'mixas. So I don't understand what you're saying. What's your chshash? The loiva is not swearing the safe at all. Amr Shmuel. So Shmuel says, you're right. Aresha. It's going on to Aresha. V'cheinu Rabbi Chibra Rab. Aresha. V'cheinu Rabbi Yochanan. Aresha. Where the loiva has to swear. So my Resha, which Resha? Do you mean Resha to Resha? The Resha to Resha is a case where he says it's worth a sella, and the Shomer says that the loan was a sella, and the Mashkin was a sella, and therefore I owe you nothing. He's Kaifra Koil, so he's Potter. He doesn't swear at all. The more answers safe for the Resha, as we explained when we were learning the Mishnah. It's the safe of the Resha, which is the case where the Loiva says it's worth 3 dinarim. So he's Moida b'mixas, he's Moida he owes 1 dinar. The Malva wants 2 dinarim, he wants a shekel, and the Loiva's Moida that he owes him 1 dinar. So in that case, sell it. We see chalav shekel or yeshav. That's what the Malva says. V'aloyim and the Loiva says loikiel a sell v'isan yolov. I lent based on this mashkin a sell above a shloish dinar yeshav. It wasn't worth a shekel when you lost it. It was worth 3 dinarim, and therefore I only owe you 1 dinar. I might have been mixed as chayiv. The shvua gabi loivahi. So this is a case where the shvua was by the loiva. But that's what the Mishnah says. Shachlu rabbanan mi loiva. The rabbanan took the shvua from the loiva and they gave it to the mishapakot netzlik, to the malva. Shadu amalva. The mashkin has a halach of a pekotin and the malva is a din of a shomer sachar. They took it from the loiva and gave it to the malva in order that it shouldn't come out of chil Hashem, in order that the loiva shouldn't become posel edis when the malva says, oh, I have it, and he produces and we see that the malva was right, not the loiva. Says the Gemara continues, Vahashta di Amar Rav Ashi. Now that Rav Ashi in Masech the Bava Metzia tells us the following, the Kaimalon, Zen Nishba Sheni Bishusa, Vizen Nishba Kamashava, that not only in the Mishnah does the loiva swear in the Sefer Duresha of Moed B'Mixas, but the malva at the same time has to swear that he didn't really have a taiva to keep it for himself. He has to swear that's any reshus. So they both have to swear. Based on that interpretation of the Mishnah by Rav Ashi, because of the sugyim bava metzia, hachi kamar, this is now the new pshat in the last line of our Mishnah. Meaning nishbet chila, both have to swear, but who swears first? The answer is, you know who swears first? Misha bekodin latzloi, the malva was the bekodin by him. Why? Shema yushava zev, yaitzi alosa bekodin. Maybe the loiva will swear first, and the malva will take it out, and prove that the loiva swore incorrectly, and therefore the loiva will become possible to swear, therefore a chila Hashem will come out. We don't want that, that's why we make the malva swear that he doesn't have it, and therefore we're not worried that later he will produce the pekodin, the mashkin, and it will have adverse effect. Continues the Gemara, Amr Shmuel, Haiman de Usve Alfa Zuzi Lechavre, if someone lent 1,000 zuzim to his friend, Umashkin Le Kata de Maglo, and the loive gave as collateral a handle of a sickle, which is worth very little, nowhere near the 1,000 zuzim that the loan was. So the halacha is that the mashkin is in the rishus of the malva. He's a shomer sachar on it. He's chayav for geneva v'aveda if the mashkin gets lost. And therefore the halacha is, ovid kato demaglo, if the handle of the sickle gets lost, ovid alfa zuzi, the entire 1,000 zuzim is lost as well. The loiva does not have to repay it to the malva, as Rashi says, the sovar v'kibel, because the malva had accepted that the handle of the sickle should be in lieu of the loan. Explains Rashi, in Divrei Amaschol, Ovid Alfa Zuzei, that if there is a stam halva, which is shloishim yoim, or if they specified a certain time when the loan has to be repaid, so then if the loiva comes to the malva and says to him, I want you to accept the mashkin as payment, I want you to accept the handle of the sickle as payment, then avada, the malva can say to the loiva, no way, I only accepted the handle as a mashkin, as collateral for the loan, but I didn't accept it as payment. However, says Rashi, in explaining what Shmuel is saying here, that if, on the other hand, the mashkin gets lost, so then the loiva can say to the malva, as long as you don't return to me the mashkin, then I have no obligation to repay you the loan. You accepted the mashkin to be a collateral for the loan. When I get the mashkin back, then I'm chuyuv to pay you the loan. But as long as I don't get the mashkin back, I don't have to pay you the loan. Avad alfa zuzah. You cannot say to me, says Rashi, you know what? I'll pay you how much the handle was worth. It was worth 5 zuzim, and the rest, the rest of the loan, you pay me 995 to begin with, or I'll pay you the 5, you pay me the whole 1,000, but the rest of the loan you should be chayv. No, as long as I don't get the mashkin back, you don't get your 1,000 zuz back. This is the halacha of Shmuel. But continue Shmuel, avaltarti katose loy. But on the other hand, if there were 2 handles, so we don't say that each handle is worth a half of the loan, and therefore if one of the handles gets lost, all the loiva has to pay back to the malva is 500 zuzim, half of the loan. Since, says Shmuel, they did not specify that each handle would be equivalent to half of the loan, therefore we say the two together were a collateral for the loan. As long as I'm giving you back partial of the collateral, partial of the mashkin, that's considered that I gave you back the mashkin, and all the malviz mechuyev to give to the lova is the value of that handle that got lost. If five zuzim, if it was worth five zuzim, so that he has to repay to the lova. But we don't say the one handle that got lost was equivalent to half of the loan. There we say that as long as he gives him back even part of the mashkin, it's considered that he gave him back the mashkin. The loiva now has to pay the full loan to the malva, and the only thing is the malva has to reimburse the loiva the value of that one handle that got lost. So paskin Shmuel. Rab Nachman Amar, however, Rab Nachman disagrees, and Rab Nachman says, afilu tarti katose, even if he gave him two handles, and they did not specify that one handle was worth half of the loan. The halacha is Ovid Chada, Ovid Chameshmeya. If one handle got lost, that is half of the loan. That's 500, equivalent to 500 zuzim. Ovid Idich, if the second one got lost as well, Ovid Kuli, then everything is lost. And Einachanami, according to Rav Nachman, even though they didn't specify, but we take on that he was sover v'kibble, he accepted that each handle is equivalent to half of the loan. He disagrees with Shmuel Svora here, and therefore each one is equal to 500 zuzim. One gets lost, he only owes him 500 zuzim, the lova to the malva. Two gets lost, he owes him nothing. Avol, even according to Rav Nachman, if it was kato v'nascho, if it was a handle, which is very inexpensive, and then there was also a bar of a precious metal, which is used for payment, loy, then there's a different halacha. And what is the halacha? So here we have a machlokes between Rashi and the Ritva on one hand, and Tosfos on the other hand. Rashi learns that since nascha is a mode of payment, so it doesn't only serve as a mashkin, but it can serve as the payment itself, and therefore we look at the shavius of the naska, and if the naska gets lost, that is the value of the naska that is getting, the total value of the naska is getting lost, and the Ritva speaks out that when he gives him a naska together with the handle, then he is looking at each part of the collateral, what the value of that part of the collateral was. If the naska gets lost, then whatever the naska is worth is deducted from the loan. And if the kata gets lost, then whatever the real value of the kata is, it gets deducted from the loan. If the naska, for example, is worth 750 zuz and the kata is worth 5 zuz, so the 750 gets deducted and the 5 gets deducted and the loiva has to pay back to the malva the rest. So learns Rashi pshat in kata v'naska. However, Tosfos learns differently. Tosfos learns that when a mode of payment is part of the collateral, such as in the case of a naska, there we say that whatever the proportion of the handle is to the value of the naska, we say that in the repayment of the loan, it's the same proportion. Therefore, for example, if the naska is worth 10 times more than the kata, so then we will say that the naska will represent 90% of the loan, and the kata will represent 10% of the loan. So if the naska gets lost 900 zuzim, the loiva doesn't have to pay, and if the kata gets lost, it'll be a tenth of the entire amount, which is 100 zuzim, the loiva will not have to pay. In a case where you're using a mode, something that is normally used as a mode of payment, such as a precious bar of metal, so then we say that make the collateral equivalent in the proportion of the value of each item. If the naska is 10% if the kat is 10% of the naska, then when it is lost, that is the same percentage of the loan that is considered repaid, and all the loiv has to do is pay the rest. Nardoi Amri, however, Nardoi has a third way to look at kata v'naska, not like Rashi and not like Tosfos. It says the Nardoi, afilu kata v'naska, even in the case of a handle and a precious bar of metal, the halacha is avat naska, avat palga, avat kata, avat kulei. It has the same halacha as two handles, as Rav Nachman said before, that each handle is equivalent to a half of the loan. We don't look at proportions, we don't look at the real value of the naska, but rather we say that each item in the collateral represents 50% of the loan. So if the naska is lost, it is considered that half of the loan is lost, the lover doesn't have to pay that, and if the kata is lost as well, then the other half has been repaid, and then the loiva owes the malva nothing. Tanan, we learned in our Mishnah, we're going to ask the kasha on Shmuel from our Mishnah. Sela hu v'sicho lov, v'shekel ha'yeshava, if the malva says to the loiva, I lent you on this collateral a sela, but the collateral itself was only worth a shekel, it was only worth 2 dinarim, and you owe me 2 dinarim because a sela is worth 4 dinarim. And the other one, the loiva says, loiki, that's not correct. I agree with you that you lent to me a sela based on this collateral, but you know how much the collateral itself, which you lost, you know how much was worth? It was worth not 2 dinarim, not a shekel like you say, but it was actually worth 3 dinarim. So I only owe you a dinar. So it comes out that the loiva is being a mite of a mixus to the malva. So the din is, he's chayv a shul like any case of mite of a mixus. So the question on Shmuel is, according to Shmuel, who said that we have a rule that ovet kata de malgla, ovet alfa zuze, that if the collateral is lost, then we say that sover v'kibol, and the entire loan is considered to be repaid. So if so, why is he chayiv a shvua? And if he doesn't swear, he's mechuyiv to pay the dinner. He should be totally potter. Le malay, hoki belte. The loiva should say to the malva, if you lost the collateral, which you were sover v'kibul, you accepted this collateral should be corresponding to the loan, then I don't owe you anything, whatever it was worth. Even if I gave you a handle and you lost it, and the loan was much more worth than the handle, I would be putter. So how could it say in the Mishnah that you're chayiv? I should be able to say to you, sover v'kibul, that you accepted it, and if you don't give me back my mashkin, I don't have to give you anything of the loan. So the Chara is a very strong question on Shmuel. The Gemara answers, Masnis and Bit of Pirish. Our Mishnah is speaking about where the Malva spoke out, when he accepted the collateral, that Einach and I am going to be Chayiv. If it gets lost, but how much will I be Chayiv? Only the actual value. I'm not Sover V'kibol. I'm not accepting it to correspond to the entire loan. I'm only accepting it as far as its actual value. And therefore, I say it was only worth 2 dinarim. You say it was worth 3, then you might have been mixus, and you have to swear a shvua. And Shmuel, what is Shmuel's case speaking about? Different than our Mishnah. Shmuel is speaking about B'dalai Pirish, where he didn't specify, he didn't stipulate that I'm only accepting achrayis for its actual value. So then Shmuel says, if you didn't specify it, we say that you accepted, if I don't return the mashkin to you, you owe me nothing. And the mashkin takes care of the full loan if it is not returned to the loiva. And then, in fact, the loiva would be potter, you would owe nothing to the malva. The case of our mission is where it was specified, and then it comes out it's a case of mitzvah b'mixas, where the halacha is chayiv.